Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 141, the podcast that always keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading once again. And for all you first-timers, welcome to the show. I'm Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, Telstra fires the first shot in a mobile data war. Samsung announces the pricing and launch date for the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. And this week, it's World Backup Day, a day designed to get more people to back up their data. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a good look at the HTC One M9 smartphone, the new Arlo wire-free security cameras, and Pure releases a new range of digital radios. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide help desk, as we usually do. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about, so let's jump straight in. Well, didn't we get a bit of a surprise when we saw these announcements from Telstra just over the weekend, where they were announcing the new mobile plans with unprecedented additional data? Now, Telstra has always bragged about, and with good reason, about having the best network in Australia, and I think there's hardly anyone that would argue about its quality. But one thing that was lacking was the amount of data and the pricing for a lot of their plans. I know this firsthand. I used to be a Telstra customer. I had an all-you-can-eat plan, let's call it. It was a BYO plan, so I had my own phone, or it was a SIM-only plan. And I think I was paying $95 a month for unlimited calls and texts and about 3 gigabytes of data. Now, I did a bit of shopping around and found a better deal with Vodafone. I was for $70 a month, I was getting 6 gig of data and unlimited everything else. But on top of that, Vodafone had the $5 a day international roaming, which was one of the main reasons that attracted me to the plan. But in that comparison, just look at what I've just mentioned there. Telstra, for $95 a month, we're only offering 3 gig of data. Vodafone, on the other hand, we're willing to give us 6. Now, what's been announced just over the weekend, and it was first thing this morning on Tech Guide as well, was the fact that Telstra are really upping the ante with bonus data. So additional data, up to 3.5 gigabytes of extra data on top of what you already had. Now, that previous $95 a month plan is now going to have up to 6 gigabytes per month. So that kind of brings it in line with the competition. So these mobile accelerate plans for Telstra, you can receive even up to 10 gig of data, a bonus of 7 gig. So they've more than doubled the data allowance on some of these plans. Now, although I'm not going to go through all the plans here right now, they're all on techguide.com.au, every plan, all the bonus data. And these bonus data, I should add, that does run for the life of the plan. So if you sign a 24-month contract, you'll get the bonus for every one of those 24 months. But I think what it does show that Telstra realises that there's a bit of a war going on out there, and they realise that data is a vital component of it. Previously, Telstra were a lot lower than what other companies were willing to offer, despite them having a superior network that can handle a lot more people. That's got bigger bandwidth. Now they've got 4GX happening around the country. They can handle the traffic, and they can afford to give customers a bit more bang for their buck, which is exactly what these plans are now doing. So good on Telstra for finally realising and rewarding customers. I should add at this point that It is for new customers. So existing customers either have to move up to a new plan, kill their old plan, and start a new plan. So they're not showing a really easy path for current customers who've been, no matter how many years they've been with the company, or customers of the company. So this is aimed at new users. But I think that Telstra's now starting off on the right foot. They're really now challenging these other telcos. I think if I was ahead of any of the other telcos, I'd be a little worried at this point, because all these other telcos, that was the advantage they had over Telstra, more generous data allowances on their plans. Telstra were, I think, perceived to be, they felt that their network was more superior. A little arrogant, some may say, that no, well, that's the price. You got to pay. You want something good, you got to pay for it. That's our data limit, and that's all it was. And there would be a lot of customers who would have left for that very reason. But now that Telstra have come around and said this, I think the reaction to it has been incredible. Telstra now have kind of off the leash now with these plans. They're really throwing down the gauntlet to these other companies. I really respect the aggression. I really respect that they've gone after these plans with some gusto, with this additional data. I think a lot of people are now going to consider Telstra. Now at a time where we're seeing all these new devices being released, we saw the HTC One M9 released last week. We're going to talk about it in our reviews in a moment. But just on the eve of the Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge launch, which we're also going to talk about, these Telstra plans kick in on April the 9th, and the Galaxy S6 is available, guess when? April the 10th. So it's incredible timing for Samsung to now claim a lot of customers on a superior network with not better, but as good as plans for data by other telcos. In fact, no, some are better if you take a look at the figures and do your comparisons. So Telstra really coming out swinging now with these new mobile accelerate plans. That story's been really popular on Tech Guide. And for good reason, I think, that the fact that Telstra are really doing this, offering this amazing amount of bonus data, as I've said in my story, it is unprecedented. We've never seen Telstra doing anything like this. Good to see they're starting it now. You're going to hear a lot more about this. I think a lot of customers are going to really now put Telstra up there among the others to make their choices for their plans. If you want to read all those plans, you know where to find it, techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide,
keeping you updated and educated.
All right, I just mentioned in the previous Telstra segment that the Galaxy S6 launch date has been officially announced as on April the 10th. But more interestingly, I think, is the pricing that's been announced. Now, the Galaxy S6 and the Galaxy S6 Edge share a lot of the same features, namely a 5.1-inch screen, 16-megapixel camera, octa-core processor, 3 gig of RAM, the whole nine yards. But one thing that's different, obviously, between the two models, the S6 and the S6 Edge, which we've discussed in the past, has curved edges on the screen. So the left and right edges actually taper down into the side of the device. They don't cut off on the edge like the S6. Both devices, though, have the same specs under the hood. One is slightly lighter than the other. I've put all the specs on my story on Tech Guide. But what is interesting is the pricing. And it appears that the Galaxy S6 pricing is a bit more expensive than the Galaxy 6 Edge pricing is slightly more than the Galaxy S6. So obviously they've placed the S6 Edge as the premium device. The Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge are going more down the Apple iPhone path in the fact that they're not offering a micro SD card expandable memory card slot. They're not offering an accessible battery. They are, similarly to the iPhone, offering their choice of memory. So before there was only one choice of memory and you could just add a memory card. Now that's off the table. You now have three choices in each model. You now have a 32 gig, a 64 gig and a 128 gig model. It's the first time I've seen Samsung do this with their devices. This being a premium device, they obviously wanted to be in the same class as the S6, and it will be. We haven't reviewed the device yet, but it does appear to be obviously a top-tier hero product. And indicating if that's indicated by price, then certainly that is the case. Now, the Galaxy S6... starts at $999 for the 32 gig version, moving up to $1,149 for the 64 gig and $1,299 for the 128 gig. Around the same price points as the iPhone 6 Plus, iPhone 6, which has a smaller screen. The S6 and S6 Edge have 5.1-inch screens. The iPhone 6 has a 4.7. Moving on to the Galaxy S6 Edge. Now, this is more expensive. It starts at $1,149 for 32 gig, $1,299 for 64 gig, and $1,449 for the 128 gig. That's quite a difference between the first, and that's $300 difference between the 32 gig and the 128 gig, whereas a year ago, there was no difference with any of the models. You would bring along your own micro SD card and expand that memory as much as you desired. Now, both models will be available on April 10, as I mentioned, in two colors, white pearl and black sapphire. I'm just wondering how the customers are going to take this. This is a new experience for Samsung Galaxy customers, the Galaxy S customers. They're used to having a one model available each year with that micro SD card slot. Not sure how people are going to accept that, not having that expandable memory on a device like this. Whether they will opt instead for the 128 gig model or maybe the middle model, the 64 gig. I'm really keen to see which is the most popular. I suspect the middle device, the 64 gig, will be the most popular. Although the entry level always gets a lot of support because it is that very fact that it's entry level, it's a lot cheaper than the others. But the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge, we're going to see them April the 10th, and stay tuned to techguide.com.au for a complete review on the day they are launched. Now, today, if you're listening to this on launch day of my podcast, which is normally released every Tuesday, if you're listening on Tuesday, March 31, today is World Backup Day. Now, this is a day that's designed to highlight the need for people to back up their data, whether it's on a computer, on a mobile device. This is the purpose for this day, to build awareness for the importance of doing this. Now, the sad and alarming news is that not many people are getting the message. In the past 25 years, the amount of personal data that we generate has grown 1 million times. And people consider that information, that data, more valuable than the device itself that's holding it. So thereby, there should be some importance place, some need for us to realize the importance for us to back up that information. And not only back it up, but to protect it, just so that it's secure, but it's also backed up separately to our computer. Now, a survey done by backup software company Acronis showed that more than 50% don't actually back up their data at all, while only a third will back up their entire system instead of just selected files. And it extends to mobile devices. You have to remember the kind of information that's being stored on mobile devices nowadays. We're talking contact details, banking details, private information. It's this sort of information, if in the wrong hands, could lead to things like identity theft, online fraud. It is a drastic situation, but it does happen. And people think, well, it'll never happen to me, and they're the ones who, when it does happen to them, were regretting the fact that they didn't protect themselves or back up their data. Now, there's several ways you can back up your data. Obviously, you need to have that backup externally to the device. So if you're backing up a phone or if you're backing up a computer, you needed a backup that's not on the device itself, for obvious reasons. If that device that you've backed up, if the device itself is destroyed, is some kind of error, something happens where the data could be lost, you need the backup to be on a separate cloud or separate drive so that you can access that safely and restore it. If you have to get a new computer, you can restore all that information back where it needs to be. it is necessary to have that backup, especially if you want to protect all this information that's out there. You want to protect your own information. You can either do that with an external hard drive or choose a cloud storage system, and also do it on a regular basis. That's another thing where people just forget. We forget to back up. There are ways on both your PC and your Mac to set automatic backups. All you need to do is to connect a hard drive, and you can set up times on how often you want things to be backed up. So in the unlikely event that your computer has a meltdown or it's destroyed or stolen or lost, then you have that backup and thereby have some peace of mind. If you want to read more about World Backup Day, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And Netgear has just produced Arlo, which is the 100% wire-free HD home security system. There's no need for a power outlet near the camera, which means there are no ugly cords and you have the freedom to place your cameras wherever you like. Arlo security cameras have built-in night vision so you can see what's happening at any time. And they can be placed inside or out because the Arlo cameras are weatherproof as well. Users can enjoy amazingly sharp 720p live video and receive a notification if anything moves thanks to the motion detection alerts. So whether you want to check in to make sure the kids are home safe, that the baby's still sleeping, the courier has dropped off that package, or if your holiday home or small business is secure, Arlo can give you peace of mind, and all from the palm of your hand with the free Arlo app. A click or two is all you'll ever need to check in. Check out the 100% wire-free smart home cameras from Netgear at arlo.com/AU.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
Kicking off the reviews this week was a device that we mentioned at the top of the show was released last week, the HTC One M9. It's been out a week now. We've had it for just over a week and had a great time using the device. The HTC One M9 is an Android smartphone. It has a 5-inch full HD screen. Now, at first glance, doesn't look a lot different to the HTC One M8. It's got a unibody construction, dual tone, dual colors on the exterior, but it has a more premium feel. I think that was what they were going for, and that's what they got. They increased the build quality, the finish. They've done really well to enhance that feeling of quality, that premium feel that the device has, and that's reflected in the price. It's over $1,000. It's $1,099. Now the device itself is 9.61 millimeters thick and weighs 157 grams. Now, one thing that hasn't changed, looking at the front of the device, you pick it to be almost identical to last year's model, the One M8, the excellent One M8, I have to say. One thing that is there, and we're very thankful for, are those front-facing speakers. That is one of the standout features of the One M9, those Dolby Surround front boom speakers. And I have to say, this is the best-sounding phone you can buy. A lot of people buy a phone and then buy a pair of Bluetooth speakers so they can hear their music in better quality. Well, you don't need to do that with this, with the HTC One M9. The One M9 sounds great on its own. These boom speakers really have to be heard to be believed. And especially when you're listening to, when you're watching a movie that's got a Dolby soundtrack. Now, you'll be hearing sounds coming from behind you, all around you. You'll be amazed that speakers of this size can produce such a sound. So big tick on the front-facing speakers. On the back of the device, the camera. Remember last year they had a secondary lens for their new camera system. Well, the second camera lens has disappeared, even though it's only been around a year, and the company really made a big song and dance about the fact that they've got this new secondary lens on the back. It only lasted a year. So what HTC have decided to do was to actually state the actual megapixel strength of the camera. But previously, they just used to call it an ultra-pixel camera without really giving us a number. Well, they've decided to give us that number this time around. It's 20.7 megapixels. The camera, and there's also a front-facing camera as well, so that you can take your selfies also. You can't forget that. But they've reserved the front facing camera actually doesn't have a megapixel value. They're just calling it ultra pixel this time as well. But on the camera side, I think the HTC One M9 is above average. It could be better. I think there's probably a software tweak where they can maybe make the camera get a little bit more out of that 20.7 megapixel lens. I have on my review done some side-by-side comparisons. The pictures I've taken with the HTC One M9 and the other is with the iPhone 6 Plus. I think the 6 Plus has a slightly better color representation, slightly warmer. But the HTC One M9, though, not really putting that down. It is still a great camera. I think it can be enhanced. Hopefully a future software update may get a little bit more out of that sensor, maybe add that warmth. There was a tiny little bit of washout in the pictures and lacked a little bit of that warmth, as I mentioned. As far as onboard features go, it's running Android Lollipop, so it's 5.0. It's also got its own HTC Sense user interface. A lot of people don't like this. I think it makes it look really clean. I don't mind the UI on this. It's got their traditional Blink feed, so it aggregates all your news and social media in one place. Just one swipe to the right, and that gets you onto the Blink feed. The device itself, I think you'll find that even though when you hold it in your hand, it does look the same, but I think it's got less of a curve at the back now, so the back is a bit flatter than last year's. Last year's had a bigger curve. Let's talk about battery life. Battery life we found was pretty good. We used it pretty heavily during our review period, and we're talking like constant emails, calls, browsing the internet, using apps, and it powered through the day. The battery got us through a whole day, not a problem. There's a lot of people comparing this to other devices, but these other devices are a lot bigger and with bigger batteries. I think the HTC One M9 certainly holds its own in terms of battery performance. Now, overall, I think HTC has done a pretty good job here. One other thing I didn't like was the fact that they moved the lock button. It used to be on top of the device. I'm all in favor of trying something new. But what HTC decided to do was to put it on the right-hand side below the memory card slot and the volume key. So the lock key is actually halfway down the side of the phone, and I kept hitting the volume key, thinking that's where the lock key should be. Whereas on the left-hand side, all there was a SIM card slot and nothing else. Would have been good to maybe put the volume keys or the lock key on opposite sides of the phone so you're not hitting the wrong buttons trying to lock the device. Not much else I didn't like. They were the only two little things. I think the camera can improve. That lock button issue was not a real deal breaker, but it did take some getting used to lock it properly. I think this is a great improvement on last year's model. It's got 32 gig of internal memory and that micro SD card slot. Remember I was mentioning earlier that the Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge don't have the micro SD card slot. So when it comes down to it, it may be the fact that the HTC is stuck with micro SD card slot to expand the memory that may sway customers their way. The HTC One M9, it's available now, and if you want to read our full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Okay. Our earlier Netgear live read was all about Arlo, and that is one of our review products. I just want to disclose that up front. Arlo, despite the ad, I did review it actually for Tech Guide, and I have to say that this is a security camera with a difference. There's a lot of cameras out there that claim to be wireless, and they are. They're wireless in the sense that you can connect your cameras to your network, but they're not wireless in the sense that they can't operate without a power cord. That's the thing with a lot of all the other cameras, is the fact that they do need to be plugged in. There's a cable, and often there's not always a power point. Up in those high corners where we want to put our security cameras, there's often not a power point in those areas, so it could involve extra work, maybe extending the cable to an actual power point. So here's where I think Arlo's strength lies, is the fact that it's battery operated. It takes batteries on deck that can last up to 6 months. So what this allows you to do, it gives users the freedom to place the camera wherever they want. And it is quite easy to place. There is a magnetic mounts that come with the camera. So once you have these mounts on the wall, the back of the camera simply attaches magnetically. You can still adjust that angle for yourself. It even attaches to metallic objects like your gutter, your fences, your fridge, if you want to actually attach it yourself as well. So having that freedom without having to worry about a PowerPoint allows you to do a little bit more with this camera. For example, you'd be able to set up the camera, as long as it's still within range of your wireless network, remember that, you'd be able to set up the camera outside your home looking in at your front door. So you could maybe have this in the garden, on the fence. So there's no PowerPoint out there usually, so other security cameras wouldn't be able to give you this kind of view, whereas the Arlo can do that because of its wire-free nature. Now, setup is a breeze. It comes with, there are different packs. There's a single, sec, two, and a three-pack. You can, in each of them, there comes a small router that attaches to your main router. And all you need to do to attach the cameras is simply press a sync button on the router, a sync button on the cameras, and they talk to each other. They can find each other. And then when you set up, you download the free Arlo app, and you can do a number of things. You can either view live images from the camera, live video in 720p. You can also receive notifications if it detects movement. But be very careful. If you do set it for motion detection and you've got your camera placed in an area that does spot a lot of movement, you're going to get sick and tired of all the notifications you get. So you can actually go in and set the times where you want it to be motion sensitive. So you may know that you're going to be away a couple of days, or you know you're going to be out of your house between 10 and 6. Maybe set it to those times. So you can easily adjust those in the dashboard. One thing I forgot to mention is the fact that the camera can be used indoors and outdoors. There's no separate versions you need to buy. The camera itself can be used anywhere. It's weatherproof, so it can handle the rain. It's got night vision, so it works day and night. It is very easy to set up, very easy to operate, and gives you the ability to monitor your home, your holiday home, your office, your pets, your kids, everything that you want. You want to see that the package has arrived. I often get a lot of packages delivered here for my reviews, and it is good to get that notification if someone is at my front door and I don't happen to be home. I can at least get that notification and see what they've done with the package, whether they've actually left it here, whether they've taken it back with them. It is very handy to do. It can be used in any number of ways. Your limit is just your imagination. You may want to just watch your pets. You might want to use it as a bit of a baby video monitor. The choice is yours. If you want to read my full review of the Netgear Arlo wire-free security system, which starts at $349 for the single pack, $589 for the two-camera pack, $799 for the three-camera pack, and you can buy single Arlo cameras for $249. You want to pick up that review to read, you know where to go, techguide.com.au. All right, Pure is a brand we know fairly well in the digital radio market, and they've released a new range of digital radios, the Pop range, which is an interesting name for their digital radios. They've been around for quite a while, Pure, though. They really make some really, really cool products. Their audio quality has always been second to none. Their designs have always been interesting as well, and this new Pop range is no exception. They start at $99. There's three models in the range, the Pop Mini, the Pop Midi, and the Pop Maxi. That indicates different sizes. So down at the bottom end, the Pop Mini and the Pop Midi have got very small footprints. There's a vertical design, so it doesn't take up much space at all. There's a decent size display, I should say, on the front of the product. And there's a pop button on top. That's where all the controls of the device is. And you simply pop that button, press it on, and you're listening to your favorite digital radio station. Different numbers of presets for each of the products. The Pop Mini can hold 10 presets. The Pop Midi, that takes that up to 20. But the Pop Maxi, that can hold 40 presets. The Pop Mini and the Midi are single speakers. So the Maxi actually has two speakers, so stereo sound will be coming out of that machine. And the Midi has a version of Bluetooth connectivity. The Maxi has Bluetooth built in. So not only can you listen to digital radio, crystal clear digital radio, you can also use this as a Bluetooth speaker as well. They're all portable. You can either put in your own batteries, your alkaline batteries, your rechargeable batteries, or you can buy a charge pack, which Pure sells. So it's environmentally friendly device, little battery that goes in and allows you to take this anywhere you want. So it's good to have that choice. Good to see that they're available and so affordably. The Pop Mini is $99. That's the smallest device in the family. And the Pop MIDI is $129 and $149 for the Bluetooth version. And then at the top of the line, the biggest unit in the range is the Pop Maxi. This is $179, and it comes standard with Bluetooth, also has 40 presets and that stereo sound. If you want to check them out, the Pop range is available now from JB Hi-Fi. You want to read our story about them, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, I had an interesting call on radio last week on my 2GB segment with Chris Smith, our tech segment. One question from a listener was, are you able to stream Foxtel Go, which is the Foxtel app that allows you to watch programs on your mobile devices, your smartphones and tablets? Are you able to watch that or stream that to a television? Now, the answer to that question, which the reader asked about the app, not about the PC or Mac version of Foxtel Go, you cannot stream Foxtel Go from, say, your iPad using Apple TV to your television. That kind of defeats the purpose of Foxtel Go. Foxtel would rather you buy a second box so you can stream, you can watch all your programs on a larger box rather than being able to stream from an iPad. But a couple of listeners have been in touch and they've said that they've gotten Foxtel Go off their laptop computers, because remember it does run on PC and Mac. There is a Foxtel Go for not only iOS and Android but also for Windows and Mac. Couple of listeners have advised me that they have been able to output Foxtel Go from their laptops when their laptop was connected hardwired to their television. So there is a way around that. If you do want to enjoy Foxtel Go on the big screen without having to spring for a second box, you can only do it if you're listening to Foxtel Go on your computer. So probably best bet would be your laptop. Once you can connect the computer to your TV, you'll be able to then replicate whatever's on your computer screen to that TV screen and thereby being able to watch your favorite Fox programs. I just thought I'd clear that up. We've had a few responses where people were telling me about their adventures with Foxtel Go on their computers. But my answer to the question was all about the app, and if you could stream from the app, that is still not possible to stream from an app to a smart TV from your mobile or tablet device. Foxtel Go, very handy app. I use this app a lot. My wife likes to watch Foxtel. She's got her shows. I've got my shows. And 9 times out of 10, I'm the one relegated to watching my programs on the iPad. Being the gentleman that I am, I always allow my wife to enjoy her programs on the bigger screen. I'm happy to watch it on the iPad. If you want to read more about Foxtel Go, I've written about it many times on techguide.com.au. And that's our show for another week. You can read everything we've talked about here on the Tech Guide podcast at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, email us at info@techguide.com.au. A special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Now, before I go, I'd just like to remind listeners that I am actually out at the Royal Easter Show in Sydney. It started a few days ago, runs through till April the 8th. So if you are coming to the Royal Easter Show and you want to hear about the latest tech and also win some fabulous prizes, be in the running to win some fabulous prizes, do give us a visit in the Tech Arena. I am hosting the Tech Arena Theatre with shows at 11, 1, 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. About all kinds of subjects, smart TVs, the Internet of Things, smartphones and smart devices, as well as a lot of tech tips and tricks. We'd love to see you in there. Please come and say hello. I love talking to my listeners. It'd be a great thrill for me to meet you. Thanks for listening. Been great having you with us. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.